Hello and welcome to Out and About Immelovians. I'm your host, Jeremy Balfour. As part of my job as a member of the Scottish Parliament, I get to travel around Immelovians, meeting interesting people and hearing about how the companies, charities and projects that they work for benefit and contribute to our community. On this podcast, I will share their stories. On today's episode, I'm excited to be talking to Thomas Lynch, one of the founders of Dad's Rock.
Well, thanks very much for having us here, Thomas, this afternoon. It's great to be and to see you again. Dad's Rock, great name, but what does it actually mean?
So Dad's Rock was started by myself and another dad 10 years ago. Effectively, we had toddlers, we had kids, and we'd gone to groups and gone to things, but you know, didn't see a lot of dads, and I didn't have a lot of dads, a lot of friends who were dads. So the two of us were talking one night, myself and David, the other dad, and we said, let's just start a playgroup. Let's start something, and we'll kind of make it a fun group of dads doing things with their kids. And we kind of hoped that there'd be a bit of peer support and a bit of support going on amongst the dads, but we didn't want to kind of say that too sort of clearly. So it started as a playgroup. Wasn't an original idea. Lots of dad stuff has happened all over the world, and we called it Dad's Rock because we like music, we like rock music, and we thought it was quite a sort of silly, cheesy name as well. So that's how it started 10 years ago, as a playgroup in Edinburgh.
So it started here in the city. 10 years on, what does Dad's Rock look like today?
Yeah, we started in Edinburgh, and we started in Sight Hill. That's where the first playgroup was. Edinburgh Council were great. They gave us some free space for the playgroup. And we've done a whole range of things over the 10 years. And, you know, we were just volunteers when we started. There's now 9 members of staff. We do a range of different services in Edinburgh and in other places and online as well as face-to-face. So at the moment, we have a Saturday morning group in Craigmillar, that's in the park outside for dads and kids. We've got a Sunday morning playgroup in the city centre, just off the Grass Market. We support young dads in Edinburgh, so that's dads under the age of 30. We deliver workshops in Edinburgh, in Leith, antenatal workshops, feeding workshops, sleep workshops. The antenatal's for dads, but everything else is for mums and dads, all the other workshops. And we have music lessons on a Tuesday night for young people and their family in Sight Hill to come together and to learn to play instruments together. We've just started a project with NHS Lothian for neonatal dads, so that's dads who have children in the neonatal unit or who have been in the neonatal unit. We also have a national service now for peer support for new dads, so any new dad in Scotland or dad who's just about to have a baby can get a bit of peer support from our volunteers, and that's a national project. I think that's everything we're currently doing. We have a WhatsApp group, and the Dad's WhatsApp group, especially over the last couple of years, has been really important. We started it to tell dads things because they were pretty rubbish at remembering everything we were doing because they had so much going on. So we started to communicate via WhatsApp, but we soon realised that actually they were speaking to each other and getting a bit of peer support. So that's been really important over the last couple of years as well.
Obviously, you know, traditionally we've had, you know, mothers and toddlers, we've had lots of groups for mums to go to, particularly when, you know, you've got a baby or a toddler, but less so perhaps for dads, as you said. What do you think, as you look at the average person that's coming through your door, the average dad today, what are the issues that they're facing? What are the things that they would ask you about in regard to being parenting?
I think a lot of the issues are probably timeless. It is about really sort of simple stuff about, you know, about sleep patterns, about feeding, about what it's like to actually experience somebody going through birth and going through labour. So I think a lot of it's probably not changed, that's been going on for a long time. But I think what I've certainly experienced in the last few years is that, you know, there's definitely more sort of isolation, or there's less obvious networks that I think a lot of couples, a lot of families are quite sort of isolated and not connected as well as perhaps we were in the past. So therefore, I think charities like ourselves and organisations like ourselves can help bring people together and the connections. You know, a lot of the core questions that we might see popping up in the Dad's WhatsApp chat, they're quite sort of logical, practical things about nappy changing and about sort of like, you know, sort of potty training and stuff like that. So it's all kind of, you know, and we always say that to dads especially, that there's no such thing as a stupid question, and we're all kind of going through this parenting process and parenting journey ourselves, so therefore you just want to help each other and you just want to support each other, and you just want to make things easier for the person who's coming behind you, and therefore, you know, can hopefully make things better for them and their child. And ultimately we want to help our children be more resilient and more confident, and we know that to do that we need the dads and the families to be better and more confident as well.
Well, in the next few minutes you might find me with a question that is daft enough not to answer, but hopefully not. There's still, again, I think as I talk to my peers, there's still a perception that mum changes the nappies, mum does it all, and maybe dads get a bad kind of press that, you know, it's a mum that does everything and the dad's just kind of in the background. Is that a changing picture? Do you think dads are more hands-on, even in the last 14 years you've been around?
Definitely, yeah. I would say that, you know, society has changed, is changing, and I think, as usual, our systems and our practices are, you know, struggling to catch up with families. My experience is that dads absolutely want to be as equal as possible, and dads want to be involved. But quite often there's systems in place to stop them. There's expectations in place to stop them as well. But, you know, my experience over the last 10 years of doing this work is that definitely dads want to be involved. And I think sometimes some dads just don't know how involved they can be. Some dads don't know that they have responsibilities, that they have parental rights. And therefore, I think there's clearly more work needing to be done to make sure people have got the right information at the right time and when they're ready to listen to it.
And clearly, sadly, relationships break up. Couples do move away, and, you know, we've always got to put the child at the centre of that, the best interest of that. You've talked a bit about that. Again, this is a broader question, but again, are dads getting the rightful place in regard to access to children? I mean, I would presume still 99% of custody goes to the mum rather than to the dad. Again, is that a changing thing in the experience that you've got?
Well, a lot of people make assumptions about our charity, about the fact that it's called Dad's Rock and it's for dads and families, that therefore a lot of our families are separated or have been separated. But the reality is that most of the families who are engaged with us are in relationships and are not separated. We have had a lot of experience of working with families who are separated. And I would say that, generally speaking, I would say that, yes, there is definitely still a bit more weight towards expecting the mum to be the main carer. However, there's definitely been some examples where that's not the case. We supported a young dad who didn't live in the same local authority as his children. He had two children. They were preschool. He was a young dad in his early 20s. It wasn't possible for these children to be with the mum. And social work did everything they could to make sure that he could see his children and be with his children. And, you know, by the age of 25, this young dad had full custody of his children. And that was an amazing success story. However, for every story like that, there's other stories where the systems and practices in place that still make it hard for men to be seen and to be heard. So there's definitely a bit of work that needs to be done. There's some amazing work happening across Scotland, and there's some amazing work happening in Edinburgh, but I still think there's still a bit of work that needs to be done to ensure that people know that dads have value and that dads need to be seen as a positive asset in a family, and not something that needs to be put to one side or something to be scared of. You know, I think if we can start from a place of thinking that they're a positive asset and a positive influence, then hopefully, you know, that will help.
We've just come through a very strange 2.5 years. You're very much a hands-on organisation, or you certainly have been. How did the pandemic affect your job, your work, and how did you cope with it? How did you manage it?
I think it was really scary to begin with. It was really scary because of how much uncertainty there was personally, and also from a sort of organisation point of view. You know, you're aware that there's people that we employ, and therefore you want to look after everybody and also all the families. And you know, you were so aware of us all going through this at the same time, but impacting us all differently. So, you know, I think the good thing was that our board of trustees, the people who help us with look after the charity, were absolutely keen that we try to do as much as we could and that we stayed as active as possible. So, you know, we didn't furlough any staff, and we moved everything that we could online as quickly as possible. And, you know, things like Zoom and doing things online was pretty amazing at the time. And, you know, it's what we had to do, and it's what we wanted to do to still sort of be here.
Obviously, we've got, you know, we're going to be lessons learned over the next number of years. But from an early stage, any kind of concerns you have or any positives that you think have come out of this last period?
That's a really big question. I think that's a really difficult one because I still think it's very personal, the last couple of years, and we've all reacted differently. You know, we've got lots of examples where families have really benefited from working from home and being at home, and a lot of dads who've said they don't want to go back to the office full time, and some dads who have already been pressurised to go back, and they don't want to because they've enjoyed being able to do the school drop off and to be there for dinner time. So I think that if businesses, if the economy can be more flexible, and allow people to have a bit of freedom, I guess, from the office and from that sort of routine. So, yeah, there's examples like that. And I've lost the train of what your question was, Jeremy. Sorry.
Any negatives? Anything that you're thinking, you know, looking forward, I'm concerned about this, how this might affect children or dads, you know, in the next number of years?
Yeah, so to me that's one of the main positives about people working from home and seeing each other more and being around each other more. I think on the flip side of that, there's definitely a concern within our own organisation, and we know with other organisations that we've spoken to about isolation, about families. I think the messages from the government were really strong and quite rightly so. You know, the messages about staying away from people and staying at home were really strong and really good. But, you know, there's definitely a concern that we need to get people back out, and we need to get people back together, and people in the communities and people networking. And in order to do that, I think we all need to work really hard to encourage people to do that. So I think from a sort of negative point of view, it's definitely about encouraging people to come out and to know that there's support around, because it's quite hard to find the support if you're not engaging with folk and you're not speaking to folk.
So, which kind of leads me on, how do people find you? You know, how does a dad in Edinburgh, Lothian, make contact with you? How do people hear about you?
Well, you know, over 60% of the people who engage with us on social media and on our website are women, and the mums. And a lot of people, again, assume that, you know, we'll be able to speak to a lot of dads online, and we do, and we can. However, mums have always been our biggest champions, and mums quite often have been the person who's encouraged the dad, or sometimes taken the dad to something we do, to drop them off, to be there. You know, we've had mums who've wanted to come into the things that we do, and we do things for families, and we do things for mums as well, but clearly the importance is to get the men together and get the men speaking to each other. So, you know, a charity our size and with our level of resources, we have to use social media. We want to use social media. But I think being around for 10 years, there's a bit of word of mouth as well, but there's also just a constant sort of, I guess, drive from us to be seen and to be heard. Because when you're a new parent, especially, there's so much and it's really overwhelming. So therefore, You need to know the places to go and where you're going to get a bit of support from.
So what you're saying, there wouldn't be an average dad, be coming all shapes and sizes, backgrounds, or would you say there's a particular niche in the market that you're trying to work with?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to narrow it down to one particular niche. I mean, clearly we've got different services, and some of our services, some of the stuff we do is universal and therefore is open to anybody and everybody. And that's what we absolutely want. We want a network of families and a network of dads coming together. And then obviously some of the stuff we do is more specialised, like the young dad support is more for vulnerable young dads. But I wouldn't say there's kind of like, I don't think you can generalise and say there is an average man, because, you know, when you find out you're going to have a baby, it's very personal and it, you know, throws up all sorts of stuff about your own upbringing, doesn't it? And your own relationship with your parents. So, yeah, I think it's very personal still, having a baby.
So, as people who have listened to this before know, I always like to finish with my magic wand question. So I'm going to give you, Thomas, my magic wand. What would make your life, or the people you're working with, life easier? I know, and you can have one or two things. I think really one's probably quite hard. So we've got a couple of minutes. So two or three things that might just actually make the lives of dads and children a bit better here in Edinburgh and Lothian.
I think the first thing is, for families, for dads especially, is just signposting. I think as long as they know what's available and how to access it, then, you know, they can do that when they need to, when they want to. So I think it's absolutely just people saying things like, did you know that this is available, and did you know that that happens, so that dads know about it. And I think from a personal point of view and from an organisational point of view, it has to be funding. It has to be, it does come down to money and finance, and that's obviously been really hard over the last couple of years, and I suspect it's going to continue to be hard and maybe even get harder. But, you know, charities need long-term funding. They need multi-year funding. A lot of the funding that we have at the moment is for a year, 6 months, but charities need more than that. You know, charities have got so much to give, and they do give as much as they can, but they do it at a cost of being quite vulnerable themselves a lot of the time. And especially smaller charities, I think, need more support and more structure in place in order to do the work that they do.
Thomas, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for what you're doing here in the city and beyond. And we wish you another 10 years of happiness as you grow here in Scotland. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was so great to hear from Thomas. It's so encouraging to see a charity making such an amazing difference. We will put a link to our website in the show notes, and you can go to it if you want to find out more. Thank you for listening to Out and About in Lothian, and I look forward to catching you next time.